This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
It's really fun watching my boys grow up. You know, I have an 11-year-old son, Jaden, a 5-year-old son, Dylan. And, you know, Dylan does a lot of the same things that Jaden did when he was little. And some of the things like that a 5-year-old does, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, but it's okay. It's cute when you see him do the things that they do. Like, for instance, my little boy, he'll be watching Scooby-Doo, right? Because we like Scooby-Doo and we like to do the voices, you know, run, Scoob, zoinks, okay, Rocky, you know, stuff like that. And we have fun playing Scooby-Doo, but he will come up and say something to me. Dad, I was watching Scooby-Doo, and him and Shaggy, they were running from this ghost. He was like a bad guy, and then they made it, and then he ate a bunch of Scooby snacks, and I just like Cheerios. And I'm like, what does that mean? How did the Cheerios and the Scooby, I don't understand it. It doesn't really make any sense, but it's kind of cute. You know, when he's riding his bike, Dylan, and I hope you don't do this as an adult, he rides his bike and looks at me. He doesn't look straight. He goes, hey, Dad, you see me riding, Dad? You see? I'm like, look straight. It doesn't really make sense. I mean, but be careful trying to look where you're going. But it's cute when little kids say things or do things that don't make any sense. It's not so cute when an adult does it. Have you ever seen anybody say something or do something that doesn't make any sense at all as an adult? I mean, there's no logic at all. Like, say you're in the cafeteria, and someone has their tray, and they have 4 slices of pizza, right? A piece of cake, 3 cookies, and a bowl of ice cream. You notice that they don't have anything to drink. So you say to them, hey, you want me to get you a soda? And they look at you like you're crazy. Whoa, I don't drink soda. That stuff's terrible for you. You can give me a glass of water. And you're thinking, what are you talking about? You've got enough calories and fat grams on that thing to last you till Christmas. I mean, you want water? I don't understand. That doesn't make any sense. I've met hockey fans, people that love hockey. I mean, they wear the jersey. They know the players, man. They'll drive far to watch these games and put face paint on, all this stuff. And I'll say, man, that's awesome. I'm like, well, what other sports? Like, do you like football? Who's your favorite football team? I'll say, oh, I don't like football. It's way too violent. And they're serious. And in my head, I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. Or like when a Christian husband is tempted to cheat on his wife. But he doesn't. But a couple days later, he looks at pornography. And when you talk to him, he justifies it by saying, well, that's a different thing. I mean, no one really gets hurt by me looking at pornography on a screen or on a movie or on my phone. And I look at him and I say, that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make, of course it hurts people. What are you talking about? Doesn't make any sense. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you ever do that? Do you ever make up a crazy theory in your head? Some sort of illogical thinking? It's like having a list of 2 sins. This list of sin, I would never do. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, commit a crime like arson or murder or whatever it is. I would never do that. But then there's this other list of sin that I have that I might do these. It's a different list, though. It's a different list. That doesn't make sense to me. But if you have your Bibles, open them up to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. Remember the rules when we read the Bible. We don't read the Bible to finish. We read the Bible to change. One more time, don't read it just to finish, read it to change. Genesis chapter 37, let's start at verse 3. Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him at an old age. One day, Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. But his brothers hated Joseph because of their father's love for him more than the rest of them. And they couldn't even say a kind word to him. So Joseph gets this robe, and a robe or a cloak was very common, right, in Old Testament times. It could be used for a number of different things. It could be used to sit on or for a pillow. It could be used to keep warm. Sometimes people could use a robe to bundle up their belongings, to carry them on a journey. Even it could be used to secure a loan. But this doesn't sound like a common robe. It sounds like something special, something that like royalty might have. It caused a problem in the family because it was like a symbol of Jacob's favoritism. And it strained the relationship between Joseph and his brothers, and it says that they hated him. They couldn't even talk to him. I'm like, wow. I mean, you're that jealous over a robe? I mean, over some clothes, really? And you're so jealous, you can't even talk to the guy? I mean, you ever get jealous? I mean, that sounds really shallow, but maybe not. Have you ever been jealous about someone else's clothes? I mean, how many outfits do they have? Man, I wish I had shirts and ties and shoes and dresses like they have. I like their jewelry. I like their car. Maybe for you it's a computer, whatever it is, but you're jealous. You ever get jealous over friends? Like you have a best friend, and all of a sudden they're spending a lot of time with someone else. And you're getting a little jealous about that. Well, why are they spending so much time with my best friend? They should be with me. And then when those people come around who are spending time with your best friend, is it hard for you to talk to them? I mean, can you even speak to them just like this? That's kind of an interesting concept. What makes you jealous? Or maybe jealousy fits on that not so bad list. But it can lead to hate, which we have to be careful about. Well, let's keep going. Look at verse 5-8. One night Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. "Listen to this dream," he said. "We were out in a field tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly my bundle stood up and all the other bundles, yours, gathered around my bundle and bowed low before mine." His brothers responded, "So you think you will be our king? You actually think you're going to reign over us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way he talked about them. You ever been around someone that just gets on your nerves? And then sometimes they do something and it makes it worse. That's tough, isn't it? I mean, they already are upset about the robe. And then this guy wakes up after a dream and promptly tells them, "Hey, guys, did you wake up yet? Hey, guys, can I tell you something real quick? I had this dream, and it's a little bit crazy. I don't know if I should even tell you this. But, you know, we bundles and yours bowed to mine. I just wanted to tell you. It's a neat dream. Please leave." I mean, their jealousy and hatred, it's being made into something that's brewing like a volcano. I mean, I remember one of my friends here, and I don't know if you ever ran into this problem now, you know, don't point or anything, but one of my friends here, when he was in seminary, he would raise his hand and ask questions all the time. And I mean, it would like get on people's nerves. I mean, the professor's trying to teach, and then here comes Mark, and he raises his hand. Dr. Larkin, can you explain one more thing? And he explained, "Well, Mark, we need to keep Mr. Larkin, one more quick thing. You also mentioned in our notes, but it kind of has come back up. I want to make sure I understand before the test. And the whole class is, can we just move on?" And he's just asking question after question. Then the exam comes, and someone like me, you know, I get like an 82, and Mark comes out, and he's like, "Oh, man, this is great. I got a 98, dude. I rocked that thing." And you're just like, "Please leave." It's getting worse. Yeah, it's growing, and I don't like that. He had to go promptly tell him about this dream, and it's not looking good. And it says they hated him even more. When I was writing this, I was kind of thinking, like, hatred is like acid to your heart. Well, then Joseph has another dream, and goes and tells him about that one. You know, it seems like he might have learned the first time not to say something that could have some problems with it. I mean, think about the first one. I mean, doesn't it say he was 17? So I have some grace for him. I don't want to sit here and say for sure he was sinning, for sure he was being prideful. I don't know. It doesn't say that. I don't know if he was being prideful. I have no clue. But I will say that on the second time, when he has another dream, and then he goes and tells him again, I just am thinking, did you not catch it the first time? They don't really like you talking about this. I mean, if you've ever been in a situation where you've said something, and as soon as you said it, you're like, I should not have said that. There was a breakdown in the filtering system. My brain came up with some words. There was a filter between the brain and the mouth, and alarms were going off. Doop, doop, don't say it, doop, boop, sirens, whoop, and you said it. And right when you did, you're like, oh, no, can I take that back? I mean, it happened to me a long time ago, like Sunday, and it stinks when that happens. There's an issue of self-control, maybe, lack of wisdom. It's kind of a dangerous situation. It says Jacob was wondering about these dreams and what they meant. And so he sends Joseph to check on the brothers when they're taking care of the flock. And we get to verse 18. When Joseph's brothers saw him coming, they recognized him in the distance. And as he approached, they made plans to kill him. Here comes the dreamer, they said. Come on, let's kill him. Throw him into one of these cisterns. We'll tell our father a wild animal has eaten him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams. They just couldn't let it go. You ever hang on to grudges? You hang on to that jealousy, that sin that creeps in. You can't let it go. They say, let's kill him. And we're talking about murder. So we have jealousy, then hatred. Now they actually want to kill someone? I mean, I thought jealousy was just on the not-so-bad list. I mean, I would never murder someone. That's on this list over here. But jealousy, that's not really bad. That's more on the not-too-bad list of my sins. Kind of reminds me of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, 1-3. Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would talk to mature Christians. I had to talk to you as though you were infants in the Christian life. I had to feed you with milk and not with solid food because you couldn't handle anything stronger and you still aren't ready. For you are still controlled by your evil desires. You are jealous of one another and you quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove that you are still controlled by your own desire? You are acting like people who don't even belong to the Lord. Have you ever seen someone who's a Christian and they're acting like a non-Christian? Have you ever just flat out acted like you're not even in the Christian family? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It gets worse. Verse 21, so Reuben heard of this scheme. He came to Joseph's rescue and said, let's not kill him. Why should we shed any blood? Let's just throw him into this empty cistern here in the wilderness, and he'll die there without us laying our hand on him. Reuben was secretly planning to rescue Joseph and return him to his father. So when Joseph arrived, his brothers ripped off the beautiful robe he was wearing, then grabbed him, threw him into the cistern. Now, the cistern was empty. There was no water in it. Then just as they were sitting down to eat, they looked up and saw a caravan of camels in the distance coming toward them. It's a group of Ishmaelite traders taking a load of gum and balm and resin from the Gilead down to Egypt. Judah said to his brother, what will we gain by killing our brother? His blood would just give us a guilty conscience. Instead of hurting him, let's sell him to those traders. After all, he's our brother, our own flesh and blood. The brothers agreed. So when the Ishmaelites, who were the traders, came by Joseph's brothers, pulled him out of the cistern and sold him for 20 pieces of silver, and the traders took him to Egypt. So they rip off his robe, throw him into a cistern to die. Then it says they sat down to eat. Does that seem odd? I mean, you're saying we're going to kill our own brother. All right, guys, let's get some chicken. What do we got here? I mean, that sounds horrible. But how many of us have done the exact same thing? I mean, you know what I'm saying. You lie, then you go sit in the cafeteria and sit down to eat. You cheat, you go down to the cafeteria and sit down to eat. You gossip, let's go grab something to eat. No big deal. That's on the small list. Let's just go eat. That's a bizarre theory. And because they're starting to think through their conscience. You know, wait a second. We can't kill them. That I won't be able to sleep at night. I mean, I'll be sitting there at night. Whew, I don't know if we should kill him. Maybe I'll sleep this way. Nope. Sleep this way. Turn the pillow over. It's cooler on the other side. Let me try this. Nope. Because if we kill him, that's not good. I know. Let's sell him to some slave traders. Let's let them hook him up with chains on a 30-day walk through the desert. I mean, he may or may not even make it through that. And let's just do that, because that way we won't have killed him. Well, I can sleep now like a baby, man. Because that's on the smaller list there. That doesn't make any sense. Are you ever like Joseph's brothers? What is it for you? What does that list look like? Here's the list of, I will never, ever, ever do these. All right, good job. But what's on this list of the lesser sin? Not that big a deal if I do these. I would never curse God, but it's not that big a deal if I gossip. I mean, I would never, like, steal money, but I'm not... It's not a big deal if I cheat a little bit in my schoolwork. I mean, I would never have sex with a prostitute, but it's not that big a deal if I cross sexual lines with my boyfriend and girlfriend. Have you ever seen anybody say something or do something that doesn't make sense? That doesn't make sense. What do you mean it's not a big deal? Sin is always a big deal. Do you understand? It hurts Jesus. It hurts your relationship with him, your intimacy with him. It matters to him for your relationship and your intimacy with him and for your witness and testimony to others. Sin's always a big deal. I mean, do you want to be like the Corinthian church? I mean, do we have to have someone call us out and say, why are you acting so immature and controlled by your evil desires and you're acting like someone who's not even a Christian? I had to say that phrase to a friend of mine a while back. Went to school here, lived in the dorms with me. Had an opportunity to do something special for a ministry partner, a president of a large national ministry. The president of this other ministry is a huge Dallas Cowboys fan, and I'm a huge Green Bay Packers fan because I was born in Wisconsin. So I saw on the schedule a couple years ago that the Cowboys were going to be playing at the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field. It's kind of a sacred, special place, right, for football fans, right? That's a big deal. That's a dangerous word to use in the Bible college, but you understand? So I called this president. And I said, I want to treat you to the Cowboy game at Lambeau Field. Why'd you get tickets? Because my dad and mom's best friends that still live there, she's the secretary to the GM. So we get some tickets, and she actually said, actually, I have an extra one if you'd like to take anyone else. Well, my friend from CIU way back in the day I went to lived in the dorms with, he's a huge Cowboys fan. Hadn't seen him in a long time. I said, hey, would you like to go to the Cowboys-Packers game with me? I got another ministry partner coming. It's going to be great. Oh, yeah, I'll do whatever it takes. I'll fly there. It'll be great. So we get to Green Bay, and, man, we're loading up on the food. We got different dishes with cheese for days, man. And, I mean, we got cheese fries, cheese pizza, brats with cheese. I mean, it was awesome. And all of a sudden, the game starts, and it's me, my old CIU friend, the president of this ministry. And all of a sudden, my friend just starts saying things that didn't make any sense for a Christian to say. I mean, he's yelling things at some of the players. Horrible jokes, sexual overtones. I mean, dirty, potty mouth trash. And I look at him and I'm like, what are you doing? Well, this guy doesn't. Hey, I'm talking about you, me, ministry partner, Jesus. It was embarrassing. I mean, is there another word I can use? I don't think so. On multiple levels. Embarrassing for the kingdom of Jesus. Embarrassing for CIU to me personally. I was there with a ministry partner. You know how bad that made me feel? As we were walking away, the president said, your friend's a little loose with his language there. I said, I know, I apologize. I talked to my friend later. I read this passage to him. He was angry. He said, who do you think you are telling me this passage? I said, the person who acts like they're not even a Christian. That's why I'm telling you the passage. Now, I love you. I forgive you. Jesus wants to forgive you. There's grace, but that's inappropriate. See, the friend that I used to sit in these chairs with and worship and learn about didn't seem like the same friend in those chairs in Lambeau Field. See, just because you get a degree from this school, it doesn't guarantee that you're going to have a lifetime of spiritual growth. It doesn't guarantee that. Your Bible degree only matters to the degree your life reflects the Bible. Let me say it again. Your Bible degree only matters to the degree your life reflects the Bible. The bar is set, Jesus said, be like me. I will help you, grow you, change you. You can rely on me, you can trust me, you can lean on me. The bar is set at Jesus. There's no to list. Doesn't make sense. Pursuing personal holiness to reflect Jesus, that makes sense.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.